Book of John, chapter number 11. The book of John, chapter number 11. And read a few verses and then try to bring you a thought that I trust to help you. The book of John, chapter number 11, verse number 20. The Bible said, "Then Martha, as soon as she had heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." But in verse 22, notice the Bible said, "But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." Do you know today that you can know and yet not believe? Notice the Bible says, Jesus saith unto her, "Thy brother shall rise again." Verse 24, the Bible said, "Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." But you see, this is not what Jesus was talking about. Jesus saith unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" She saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which had come into the world." And what a tremendous answer, but this is not really what he asked her. And he wanted to know if she believed that he was the resurrection, that if she believed that if he was the getting up person. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, "The Master is come, and he calleth for thee." And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly, came unto him. Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, "She goeth unto the grave to weep there." Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." And when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said unto him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, "Behold, how he loved him." Some of them said, "Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died?" Sure he could have. But what he's about to do is far greater than to keep him from dying. He's fixing to raise him up. And the Bible said, "Jesus therefore again groaning in himself, coming to the grave, it was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, Take ye away the stone, and Martha, the sister of him." You got to give it to Martha. Martha's persistent. She knows, but she hadn't got that believing down yet. Folks like Martha put you in evangelism as a pastor. You've always got to explain something to Martha. Oh, don't look at me like that. Amen. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Now, my thought is this, and I'm going to get to the message. My thought is this, that if Jesus can take care of the dead part, he'll not have no problem with the stinking part. The stinking part is not near as bad as the dead part. Jesus saith unto her, this is my thought, Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Several things that Christ faced while he was here in this episode in Martha and Mary's life. Number one, he faced death all around. It's not a place noted for living, but it's a cemetery. It's a place that was noted by death. And he dealt with the death. He dealt with those that was dead. And then the second thing that we find that Christ dealt with, he dealt with the feet. Now, I don't know if you read this or not, but when Martha and Mary both appeared to the Lord, they said, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. Can't help but believe in my heart that they were filled with defeat, and he had to deal with their defeat. But you see, none was as effective. And he had to deal with this more than he did with the death, and he had to deal with the defeat, and that was their doubt. The question is asked, did I not tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of the Lord? I believe I can say this today, that the sad commentary of many, and probably some listening to the sound of my voice this morning, is that they'll live their entire Christian life hindered and deprived of many blessings simply due to the fact that they have failed to believe. Reckon how many prayers that you and I have prayed today but never expected a real answer. Do you know the only thing that can tie the hands of an omnipotent God is unbelief? You remember at Capernaum, the Bible said this, that he could there do no mighty work because of their unbelief. I listen a lot of time, people blame it a lot of things on people. And why that they are not experiencing what they did in days past. But the truth of it is what hinders receiving more than anything is a spirit of unbelief. Much of the Christian's life today is affected by believing. It started out by believing. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. The Bible teaches us today that it continues through faith. It instructs us over and over that we're not to walk by sight, but we're to walk by faith. Do you know how difficult that is this morning, walking by faith? We wasn't born to walk by faith. We were born to walk by sight. Sight is good. I don't know about you, but I enjoy being able to watch where I put my feet. Christ, though, said this, that if you're going to serve, you're going to do, if you're going to be, sometimes you're going to have to walk by faith and not by sight. And the thought that I'm trying to get you to see, the wonder of it all, is just look at what he has given us to believe. It's not some far-fetched idea, but I'm telling you,
He has given us the essence of himself to believe in today. I'm talking about the one before there was anything that stepped out on nothing and took nothing and made this world today that you and I are part of. And all through the years, he's kept this world a-turning. And the same one that's creator, it's the same one that says that you and I need to believe. We need to believe. We find that Christ made a statement both to Martha and Mary. It's a simple statement, but one that's true nonetheless. He said this. He said, "Said I not unto you that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory?" I'll preach for a few minutes on this thought. The blessings from simply believing. Three quick things. Number one, I want you to note there are hindrances to our believing. I'll be honest with you, sometimes I got it down. Sometimes I have mountain-moving faith. But then sometimes I ain't got enough faith to get out of the house. Sometimes it seems like that I can believe God for anything for you, but when it comes to me, my wife and I, we've been married close to 40 years. And she has said to me many of times, she said, "David, it looks like that God could just let us know from whence the needs are coming." And then me and my spiritual demeanor, I look at her and I said, "Yeah, but that wouldn't be faith." But deep down in my heart, I'm not telling her this, but I believe the same thing. I wish God would just give me a sign. Just a little one. Sometimes I've got it down. Sometimes I find myself being hindered. Some hindrances to your faith. Number one, your flesh. Do you know today that faith is the fruit of the Spirit? Show me somebody filled with the Spirit, and I'll show you somebody that's got faith. That's deep, isn't it? What about this? What about your peers? Do you know I've discovered this, and sometimes we learn this a little late. If you're not careful, you'll surround yourself with people that don't believe. Have you ever found yourself having to explain why you're doing that? Because this. Well, that ain't never going to happen. I remember when Brother Mark went out to Montana to start a church. When he told him where he was going, do you know what he heard? "Why are you going to Montana? Ain't nobody ever did a work in Montana." Boy, that'll help your faith, won't it? "I'm going to start a church." Well, my God, the last thing we need is another church. I've discovered this. Surround yourself with people of faith. Surround yourself with people of vision. Because your peers, people you hang around, can affect your believing. What about this? What about the task itself? You know, I've discovered this, that the longer that you look at something, sometimes the bigger it gets. I remember one time My wife and I decided we was going to buy an exercise machine. Why, I guess we just needed something to hang clothes on. And so I set out with the endeavor to get the best exercise machine for the money, and I found it. It was the one with a seat. Hey, if you're going to exercise, at least do it sitting down. So I went and picked it up, and it was in three boxes, and I told the man, I said, no, that's been a mistake. This is not what I bought. He said, you didn't think it was going to be put together, did you? I said, no, but my wife did. So I took it home, and I panicked when I opened up the boxes and found in those boxes was 1,562 pieces. And I looked at it. And so I went back in the house. I got up the next morning. I'm telling the truth. Well, sort of. And I come out the next morning, and I looked at it, and I, to my shock, there were 2,000 pieces. What I'm saying is this. You can look at something all you want, and looking at it ain't going to put it together. Looking at it ain't going to get it done. Sometimes, if you're not careful, you'll try to analyze and figure it out and put pieces together, wondering how it's all going to work. And if you're not careful, the task itself will defeat you before you ever get started. There's hindrances to believing. Number two, there are helps to believing. An unwavering book, the Scriptures. Faith cometh by hearing. When Jesus commanded the disciples, you know, they fished all night, caught nothing. And he said, hey, put it on the right side. Now, my thought is this, what difference does the right side make from the left side? Cast the net, it's going to, if there's a fish on the right side, getting in it ought to get in it on the left side. But they said, Lord, we have toiled all night, rather caught nothing, here it is. But nevertheless, at thy word, sometimes if you're going to believe, and sometimes if you're going to see, you're going to have to operate on nothing but God's word. First church ever pastored, back in mid-80s, I pastored Victory Baptist in Clarksville, Georgia. And when I found out about the church, I panicked. Because they said, I had, and I'm honest, these can be blessings or they can be curses. I had 8 deacons. And they were in their 70s. You know the rest of that story. I am 27 years old. And I'm thinking, this is ministerial suicide. Everybody I hung around said, I wouldn't go if I was you because ain't no way you can ever do anything. And so I said, God, if you want me to take this church, you are going to have to give me a word. And Brother Dwayne, I read, they put me before the church for 2 weeks. You know how the process goes. I read everything I could think of from Genesis to Revelation, trying to find me a word, but it was just words on paper. And the day they voted, I determined in my heart, Brother Tim, I wasn't going to take the church without a word. I was talking to a preacher about something else that didn't have nothing to do about the church. And he quoted this verse, and he said, you know, God said in Revelation, I set before you an open door that no man can close. The Holy Spirit impressed my heart, there's your word. Split second, the phone rung. And it was the preacher, the interim pastor. He said, Brother David, they voted on you. And I remember telling them this when they said, what kind of vote you want? I'd heard other preachers say this. I said, I want 100%. They laughed at me. Them deacons laughed at me. They said Jimmy Downs, who was the interim pastor, wouldn't get 100%. So I said, well, vote. I asked Brother Downs, I said, Brother Downs, what kind of vote? He said, he said, the best one I ever heard in a Baptist church. 26-year-old, 27-year-old kid. What's a 27-year-old preacher going to tell a bunch that has done raised children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren? He said, the best one I ever heard. They voted 100%. What do you want me to tell them? I said, tell them I'll take it. That was my word. God sets before you. You reckon we'd be a lot better off if we depended on a word from God instead of a word from man? What do you think I ought to do? What do you think I ought to do? You think I should go? You think I should say? You think I should give? You think I should keep? Why don't we fall on our face before God and say, God, give me a word. A good word from God. I'll help your faith. What about undeniable situations? You know, many times in the Psalms, David resorted to past experiences for his present situations. Psalm 61:1, he said this, hear my cry, O God, attend to my cry. Or attending to my prayer from the end of the earth while I cry unto thee, my heart's overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. For thou's been, here it is, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. David said, God, I've seen you do it before. I've watched you over and over and over again meet my need. No, the one that you did it before. I need you to do it now. You remember when David appeared before Saul? He said, I'll take him, the giant. Saul looked at him and he said, but you're a youth. And he's a warrior from his youth. What makes you think you can do it? He said, I was attending my father's sheep. Out came a lion, out came a bear. Took one of my lambs. I slew the lion, I slew the bear. Got my lamb back. Said the same one that delivered the bear and the lions in my hand is the same one that's going to deliver this. Oh, the stories, the unlimited stories to be told in this congregation today where God over and over. I'm working on a little thought out of Psalm where David asked the Lord three times, or asked, why is my soul cast down? And it's almost implying to me is that it shouldn't be cast down. Because as you reckon it'd do us good to take a trip back down to memory lane? Let me say this and I'll move on to my last. I have discovered, same thing my mother discovered. She used to tell me this. She said, once you get your kids raised, then you have to start praying and worrying about your grandkids. And I remember when my son, maybe this helped somebody. I remember when my son had turned 18 years old and he didn't even have a prospect of a girl friend. And he just knew for sure he was going to die without ever getting married. And I looked at him and I said, God help, boy. I said, you got plenty of time. I said, he said, but who else do I know? We homeschooled him and I took him with me to camp meetings and revivals. And I said, but my Lord, don't worry about it. He said, yeah, but you and Mama, y'all were married when you were my age. I said, I was stupid when I was your age. If I can't tell that with Donna here. I messed up and told it, and so we get in the car. And she said, so you think you were stupid for marrying me, huh? I said, hush, Martha. And then I told him, I said, Josh, he said, I don't know nobody else. I said, but who else did Adam know? What chance did Adam have of finding somebody if God hadn't got, you know, lonely Adam, number one? By himself, Adam. When I'm trying my best, I watch God provide and supply and do over and over and over. None of us today ought to be here, I'm believing. But I dare say I'm talking to somebody. You're facing something. Hey, you're having a hard time trying to get a hold of it. Unlimited stories where God over and over and over again. I could stay here till tonight and tell you how God. In closing, number three. They're not only hindrances and helps, but they're benefits to believing. He said, Jesus said unto her, said I none unto thee, here it is, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see. You know, Abraham believed, so Isaac restored. Moses believed and saw the children of Israel set free. Joseph believed and saw the glory of God in Egypt. Naomi believed and saw God give her beyond her imagination. You remember Naomi told Orpah and Ruth, said, you don't want to follow me, I'm an old woman. Said, I have no more children in me. And if I did, are you going to wait in order to marry them? You don't want to follow me. Stay put. Orpah stayed put. But oh, Ruth said, no, I'm going where you go. Your God will be my God. Amen. What you love, I'm going to love. Where you die, I'm going to die. And you know the rest of that story. Ruth, I don't know if this is what this means. But if you'll let me just believe it, Ruth and Boaz wedded, and Ruth gave birth, and she brought that baby and laid it on Naomi's bosom. She nursed it. Are we okay? Y'all ain't mad at me, are you? She believed. And she saw. I remember my daughter. We were needing an attorney, a seat, a special seat. And And so we found the seat and found a van. The seat cost more than a van. And but before that, when I went in evangelism 13 years ago, I was out of town, and the one that we had tore up, and I could hear Donna's voice panicking. And so I did the only thing Brother Duane I knew to do. I got on my face, and I said, God, I said, it's not right for me to have the good car and them have that old broken down contraption. And I said, if you want me to do what I'm doing, I said, I need you to do something. Would you make a way? Long story short, God supplied us with this van and this tourney seat. It's an amazing thing. You open the door, swivel it out, mash a button, it comes out, lowers to the ground. You pick Rebecca up, put her in the wheel, in the seat, pulls her up, brings her in. And I'm going down the road. And Brother Tim, I said, God, why did you wait 18 years to give us something like this? You know what he said? Because you never asked. Are you a believer? Then let me ask you this. Are you seeing? Won't you come and fall on his mercies and be like that dad that said, Lord, I believe, I'm a believer. But help thou. Do you know? Martha thought she was. But when Christ got involved in it, does that make sense? Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shalt. Reckon what you're missing out on this morning. And you know, I'm pushing 60. And you would have thought by now you'd have a hand on this. But you know what? I'm finding myself right now in places where I'm having to believe to